Praise God. It's really good to be in the Lord's presence with the Lord's people, isn't it? You know, praise the Lord. We're looking at this book of Ephesians under the banner of what does it mean to be church? You know, it's very easy to develop different habits. It doesn't take long to develop a habit. And so over these 18 months, we've developed the habit of being at home and doing our own thing. We haven't had to go out and do this, that, and the other. And so maybe we've got into that new habit, if you like, and we haven't thought much about reconnecting that the Lord wants us to think about. And so as we look at what it means to be church, we're looking at what the Lord's saying through Paul in Ephesians. And so we're going to develop that a little bit more today, if you like. But as we go through this series, I would like to encourage you to say to yourself, and this is funny that Aaron was saying this as well this morning, so maybe the Lord is doubly asking us to do this. I want you to ask yourself, what is the Lord wanting me to hear today? You've come, we're in the Lord's presence, we're together. You might switch off, you might read a few verses in your own Bible or whatever. But ask yourself, what is the Lord wanting me to hear today? If you're only coming, because you usually do on a Sunday, and you've been glad to get back because you like the fellowship. And if you've come to hear a good message and to enjoy good worship, well, I want to tell you, there'll be weeks you go away disappointed because you think the worship wasn't that good today, or the sermon was boring. You know, sometimes we can go away disappointed because of the way we come into a place. But if you've come because you want to give to the Lord your worship out of a grateful heart, and if you know that he wants to speak to you, and you're asking yourself, what does he want to say to me today through this word, then I want to tell you, you'll never be disappointed. You'll go away blessed, because God wants to speak to us every time we meet together. He wants to talk to us. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to offer him our worship. Don't ever complain about the worship group. You can complain about us anytime. And you can complain about my voice because I still haven't recovered it from when it went all crinkly and crackly. So, and it's worse for you on Zoom, I'm sorry. You might have had a real rough morning listening to me. But you know what? If you came for that, sorry. I apologize in advance. But if you came to offer God your worship, if you came to say, Lord, you're amazing to me. Thank you so much for what you've done for me. You're not disappointed. So let's look at what Paul is saying in these verses in Ephesians 2, 11 to 22. First of all, he reminds the Gentiles, that's us, by the way, we're all Gentiles, of their past position in Christ. And he says this, number one, you were excluded. Verse 11 says, don't forget, you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. So he's saying here, the Jews judged you by their standards. They bragged, if you like, about circumcision in their lives, because that was the mark of God's chosen people. But it wasn't the only mark of God's chosen people. The real mark of God's people, and still is today, is changed lives. Changed lives. So Paul reminds the Gentiles, he reminds us, once we were excluded. Secondly, he reminds them that they were far away. Verse 13 says, but now you've been united with Christ. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. You know, once you were far away, you didn't stand a chance. You were far off. Remember, you know, when we look at others sometimes, and maybe they're people who have gone their own way, and we think they're a mile away. They'll never come to the Lord in a month of Sundays. Remember, once you were far away too. Every one of us was far away. And the third thing he said about them was, you were ignorant. Verse 12, in those days you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you didn't know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. You were ignorant. You didn't know who God was. You didn't know what he'd promised his people, and you didn't know what was on offer. You didn't know anything about it. So you lived without God and without hope. Then Jesus came. When Jesus comes, what a difference. When Jesus comes into your rubbish life, a difference. He makes all things new, the Bible says. When Jesus comes into your rubbish circumstances, he changes your perspective. You begin to see things differently and you rise above them. Often he doesn't take away our circumstances, but we have a changed perspective. When Jesus comes, he lifts us above them. When Jesus comes, your rubbish relationships, he can rebuild. He can restore. When Jesus comes, what a difference. What a difference. Suddenly, I'm no longer excluded. I'm included. I'm included. Verse 13 tells me that. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near, but now you've been united with Christ. I'm included. And suddenly, I'm not far away. I'm brought near to him. What a privilege. What a privilege. And suddenly, I'm not ignorant. My eyes have been opened and God has been revealed to me. I'm not without God. I'm with God. I'm not without hope. I'm filled with hope. What a difference. What a difference Jesus makes. You see, the cross of Christ, this passage tells us, broke down dividing walls. It says in verse 14, for Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. The Jews had a relationship with God through obeying the old system of laws and regulations and commandments. And they resented the Gentiles completely. They called them uncircumcised heathens. But when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the dividing wall that separated Jews and Gentiles. And the Bible says he made peace between them. And there's such a lot about peace in the Bible. It keeps cropping up. The cross of Christ brings peace. And so it broke down the dividing walls. And the second thing it did is it brought the two groups together. The Jews and the rest of the world. It brought us together. It says in verse 17, he brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. It was for everybody. He brought it for both Jews and Gentiles, and he brought the two groups together. Salvation was available to the Gentiles who were far away, to the Jews who were near. And he made peace between the Jew and the Gentile. Now, if you know anything about the Jews and the Gentiles, you would know that there certainly wasn't peace between them. But he made peace between them. So not only was the wall between them broken down, that was a massive thing in those times. But Jesus brings the two groups together as one body in him, equal standing, equal rights, equal inheritance. This was massive. It was absolutely massive, and particularly for the Jews to begin to understand what God had done through his son on the cross. And the cross, thirdly, ended the hostility toward each other. Verse 16 says, together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. God's plan. This was God's plan. It wasn't man's plan. It was God's plan. If it was man's plan, we'd all still be separate. We'd all still be far away from God. But God's plan, one body. One body. God's family built on the foundation of Jesus Christ himself, and each one filled with the one Spirit. What a picture. What a picture Paul is painting here in this letter. God's plan. God's plan. We need to remember it was God's plan, not ours plan. A plan of inclusion and peace. And it was obviously so hard for them to understand that, particularly the Jews, for them to understand it. And Peter was one who found it hard. He had that vision, if you remember, in the night, and a blanket was let down from heaven, and there were all kinds of what the Jews would class as unclean animals on that blanket. And the voice came to him, kill and eat. And Peter said, never, never, I would never do that. And that vision came to him three times. And God told him to go and speak to a man called Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile. Go into his house. Never, gosh, this is something I've never done. We never were before together. It wasn't allowed for a Jew to go into a Gentile's house. So even for even for Peter, who walked with Jesus, this was massive. This was massive to begin to live in the situation of being one body together. And this is where the rubber hits the road for us. And we need to understand that. How come we've got cliques in churches? I don't know about you, but I've been in church since all my life, really. And I've seen them all. Raise your hands if you've been in a clique. I'm raising my hands because I have. Raise your hands if there have been times you've built walls to keep people out. I have. Oh, not literal. Not literal, but in your heart. In your heart. I remember Dave Latham saying to me when we were in Emmanuel, I ran a small group then. We had a great small group. It was lovely, a lovely spirit between us. It was really nice. And we were growing together, really fed off one another. It was so good. And Dave Latham said to me, Myra, I've met this couple. They need to be built up. I've told them to come to your small group. I don't know what my face gives away, you know, because I can't see my face. But it must have been, I'm thinking, inside I'm screaming, no, Lord. No, we don't want anybody to spoil the group we've got. That was my feeling. But I knew I couldn't get away with that. I knew the Lord was saying, well, you've got to have these people in. Do you know, they were fab. They were two of the most lovely people who've been such close friends to me. Absolutely lovely. But I wanted to keep them out. That is not what Jesus died on the cross for, to keep people out. He died on the cross so that all of us are included. And we need to have an including mentality along the way. There was another chap, and I know I've told you about this chap before, and I won't say his name, and he came to Emmanuel. And he was he had mental health issues. He was on kinds of medication and stuff. So he could be a real struggle and a bit of a character, really. And he smelled, you know, he lived in poor circumstances. And I love entertaining. And the Lord said to me, ask him to your house. I was horrified. I don't mind telling you, it took me a long time to actually give in to the Lord on that. I was horrified. I thought, he smells, Lord. He smells. I don't want to ask him to my house. But I knew God wouldn't let me away with that. And you know, the day we invited Melvin to come for tea, Eddie picked him up on his way home from work, and he brought him in. He was the cleanest I'd ever seen him. He had absolutely, obviously worked on himself all day. And he said to me, he had his head down a lot of the time, and he said to me, I've never been invited to anybody's house before. Lord, why do I want to exclude this man? Why do I want to say no? But I want to tell you, we do it all the time. If we don't do it, literally we do it in our hearts. Jesus died on the cross that everybody might be included. Everybody. That we have a heart for everyone. We hold on often to the old when God did a new thing. So many Jews now hold on to the old when God has done a new thing, and they miss out on Jesus. They exclude when Jesus included. We discriminate when God showed no discrimination. We rebuild the walls that Jesus broke down. So often we cut people off. We break down relationships when the Bible says, in as much as it's up to you, keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's that word peace again. Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Don't let us break down relationships. How many Christians do you know are in broken relationships? Don't speak to each other. Don't want to speak to each other. You know, when we do that, we're flying in the face of what Jesus did on the cross, because he died to bring peace. He died to bring peace. And I want to say to you today that if you truly want life, if you truly want abundant life, if you truly want to be part of his body, he's the one that chooses. He's the cornerstone. He's the head. He's the one that decides what we do, not us. He's not waiting for us to change our minds. He says, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way. I don't care how you feel about this. I want you to be obedient. I want you to move. I tell you this, whenever I've moved against my better judgment, I've always been blessed. Whenever I've listened to the Lord, I was blessed with that couple that came. And I have been blessed over the years by that couple that came to my small group. And I was truly blessed when Melvin came to our home. Truly blessed. God was amazing. When we fall out or get selective about whom we mix with, when we have factions, cliques, and I believe rubbish, if you like, in our lives, the work of Jesus on the cross is brought into derision. We're flying in his face when we behave like that. What is the Lord saying to you today? Are you listening? Are you personally an inclusive person who wants to care for one another in the body, who actually thinks somebody else's needs are more important than your own? Are you that kind of person? Am I? That's what God's looking for, because that's what Jesus died on the cross to bring about. Peace between us all. A love between us all that includes everybody. Lord, give me ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to me personally in my life, in this church, at this time. Philippians 4:9 says, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace, that word peace again, will be with you. You know, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, you need the peace of God in your life. You need peace in your relationships. You need peace in your home. You need not to be at odds. You need to put things right. The God of peace will be with us as we obey him in all of these areas. Let's just pray together. Father, what you achieved on the cross was amazing. It was more than we could ever have even imagined or dreamed. You didn't look, Lord, at Jew and Gentile and say, it's impossible, they'll never get together. But you died with the sole purpose of bringing them together as one body. One body who was included, Lord. How dare we exclude? One body, Lord, who was brought near to you. Oh, Father, I just pray that in the coming days, you would remind us when we're not in step with that. Lord, we don't want to crucify you over and over again. We want to be obedient. We want to do your will. Lord, we want to operate here as part of your one body, with you as the head. We don't want to make our own decisions, Lord, because they're fickle and discriminatory. We want you to make the decisions, and we want hearts that are obedient. Lord, speak to us. Speak to us that we might look more like Jesus every day. In Jesus' name, amen.